Morning. I'm assuming you're all saying good morning back. I'm just gonna assume that. And every time I say something clever, you're also gonna say amen. I'm just gonna assume you're saying that.
You got
does anyone else feel like the Brady Bunch? Or all these squares? This is a new experience. This is definitely the first time. Like Robbie, I think that was the first time Robbie had ever led music via Zoom. This is definitely the first time I preached via Zoom. Okay, so Jonah. Why do we pick Jonah to read today? Well, because we're in the belly of the fish right now. We're deep down at the bottom of the ocean where there's no light to see. We're in a place of waiting, waiting on God. Waiting on people, waiting to see what the course of this virus is going to be. We're waiting to see who's going to live and who's going to die, who we're going to see again and who we've embraced for the last time. We're waiting to see what kind of people we're going to be. Are we going to be those who hoard or those who share? Those who hope or those who panic, those who protect or those who expose, those who love or those who judge and blame. This moment that we're in is one that reveals character. When the heat gets turned up, how do we respond to crisis? Prophet Jonah was tested too. God commanded him to go on what must have seemed like a suicide mission, to go and preach the word of judgment to the Assyrians, who at the time were the biggest, baddest, most dangerous empire the world had ever seen. So God said, Jonah, go let those Assyrians know that they're in big trouble for all the terrible things they're doing. And Jonah says, yeah, about that. Actually, I think I'm going to go take a boat ride to the ends of the earth in the opposite direction. And so, as I think pretty much everybody knows, God doesn't take no for an answer. And we end up with this situation where a big storm swamps the boat that Jonah's riding on and is thrown overboard into the raging waters of the storm, right into the mouth of a great fish. God sends a fish to swallow Jonah and keep him alive under the sea for 3 days and 3 nights. It's like, at least me, I've heard this story so many times, I have to remind myself how wild that is. Now, assuming it's possible to live in the belly of a fish, assuming you had enough space and air just to avoid suffocation, what would it be like to spend 3 days and nights in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea? It would be dark. It would be cold. It would be lonely. It would be an experience that tears you away from everything you've ever known. It would leave nothing but silence and expectation. It would be like you were already dead and buried. Nothing to do but wait and pray. So Jonah's prayer that we get here in chapter two, Jonah's prayer is coming from the most intense place possible, right? Right on the borderline between life and death. And his prayer reads like one of the Psalms. It's a real whole wheat prayer. It's got all the roughage and fiber you need for spiritual digestion. It's written at 20,000 leagues under the sea, so it's got some depth. Jonah's prayer is simultaneously one of thanksgiving and lament. Life's hard right now. And Jonah doesn't sugarcoat that. His prayer begins with a declaration of distress. I cried out of the depths to you, God, out of the pit of death. And yet, in the same breath, he says, and you heard my voice. We're in distress, and God hears our voice. We are in the pit, unable to escape, and God takes our hand. The waters have closed over us. The deep surrounds us. Weeds are wrapped around our heads at the roots of the mountains. The land is closing up over us, burying us. We're goners. And yet, God is bringing us up out of the pit. God is raising us up from the dead. As Jonah's prayer concludes, deliverance belongs to the Lord. Can you all say that with me right now? Deliverance belongs to the Lord. We are in very deep right now. And there's a chance that not all of us on this call are going to make it through this year alive. And that's a sinking feeling. We're descending into the tomb. We're sinking into the depths of the earth. And yet our God is lifting us up from the pit. God is walking with us, no matter what happens, even to the depths of death. He walks with us through it all. Just like Jonah, Jesus suffered and spent 3 days in the heart of the earth. Jesus went a lot deeper into the depths than even Jonah did. And God raised him up. God delivered Jesus from the depths of the pit and vindicated him. And that's God's promise to us. We will be raised with Jesus. The Apostle Paul testifies to this in his letter to the Romans, and he puts it this way. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. We suffer with Jesus so that we may also be glorified with him. We face the waves and the depths and the weeds wrapped around our heads. We endure all these things. But we're not alone. We know that God is with us. We know that he is trustworthy. We know that just as he raised our brother Jesus from the dead, he will also raise us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid, but we are called to respond. When the fish, the end of the chapter is the fish spits Jonah up on the dry land. I think the word might actually be vomited. And what Jonah doesn't do is Jonah doesn't go try to book another ship to Spain. This time he actually knows he has to go to Nineveh, to the Assyrian capital. He has to go do the scary thing, the faithful thing. The course of action that ran contrary to his desires, but which was his calling from God. What's that thing for you? We're living in a moment that reveals character. Who will we choose to be? Will we be the hands that help? Will we carry the good news to people who are in despair? Will we feed the hungry and comfort those in prison? Even those who feel imprisoned in their own homes right now? Will we be a healing presence of Christ to others, even as we ourselves face the possibility of death? when Jonah was in that dark, cold belly of the fish, he didn't know whether he was going to make it. 3 days is a long, long time when you don't know whether you're going to survive. Unfortunately for us, our homes are a lot more comfortable than Jonah's Fish Hotel. But on the other hand, we've got a lot longer than 3 days to contemplate the situation. We're going to be in the belly of the coronavirus for quite a while. This unprecedented global crisis calls for faithful endurance. One of the several advantages that we have over Jonah is that we're in the belly of this beast together. Now, true, we may be socially distancing and physically isolated, but we're not alone. And I hope that we as a community can take this crisis as a chance to go really deep. It's an opportunity to evaluate what God is calling us to. Because we could die. And that means anything is possible. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel that? In the last few weeks, my whole mindset has started to shift. There were lots of things that seemed really important. Work, my personal projects, money, elections, my ideas about myself and how others judged me. I was spending a whole lot of time sort of gaming things out and figuring out how to win at life. But in the face of this global crisis, so many of those concerns have just sort of faded into the background. It's not that they've gone away, but they're relativized now. Those things matter, but they don't have priority. So some things, for me, are moving to the back burner, and other things are moving to the front. So for me, it's one of the big things is being present with my kids. That's really, really big. I'm a little bit like Jonah in that I don't have a choice. Schools are not in session, and so I'm spending a lot more time with George and Francis these days. And suddenly that seems way more important than how much I'm exceeding expectations at my job or whether you guys think my sermons are awesome. I want to be there for my kids. And this crisis is encouraging me to extend outside of myself. I'm volunteering at the Berkeley Food Pantry, which it may surprise you as one of the pastors of this church. I've never volunteered there before this last week because it was always during working hours and I couldn't go. And I'm finding that even in the midst of all this shock and horror, I found so much life in the opportunity to go and serve at the food pantry. Felt powerful and empowering to help make food available to people who are hungry in our community. This is especially true because just a few days before I went and volunteered at the food pantry, I was essentially on the other end of the line, waiting in line at Trader Joe's, right? And so I know what these folks are feeling because I feel the exact same thing. We're all a little bit anxious to at least some degree about where our next meal is coming from. So there's an opportunity for us here to feel what others are feeling and share an experience and become one people. Being a pastor is really weird. And sometimes, to be really honest with you guys, sometimes I just have no idea what it means to be a pastor. I don't understand quite what this role is. But I have to say, in a moment like this, I feel so blessed to be your pastor. Because I'm seeing more than I have before how important the shepherding role is that Faith and I share with the members of ministry and council. We're working to, and I hope that you've seen it, I hope that you've felt it, we are working right now to care for everyone in this community in the midst of this situation. And I believe that this experience is going to make us a stronger community and make us more able to show God's love to other people. But right now, I know that we're anxious. And we need to be reminded of the strength of God's power that we stand in. We need to be reminded of the power of the resurrection that's ours as the children of God. We need to know that we're all held in God's hand and that he is mighty and reigning over history. It's possible to say God is in control and for it to be sort of a nothing statement that is sort of a statement of denial, like, oh, God's in control, everything's going to be okay. That's not what I'm saying. But God is in control. God is the Lord of history, and God understands what we're going through, and God's here with us. He's the good shepherd who is going to seek us out even when we're lost, even in the depths of the sea. You know, sometimes I don't know like what the takeaway is from my sermons, like what people are actually going to remember, if anything, a week from now. And so I want to say explicitly, if you only take one thing away from this sermon, I want it to be this. God is with us in this crisis. We are not alone. We are a community in Jesus, and we're not going to leave anyone behind. You are cared for. You are valued and you are loved. Every one of us is going through a tough time right now. But the good news is that we don't have to make it through this alone. And we have the resources we need to make it as a community. God sent the fish for Jonah. He sent angels for Jesus. He's sending this church for you. We're in a very dark season right now. This is the deepest, darkest Lent we have ever known and hopefully ever will know. We're in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. We're praying that this bitter cup might pass from us. We're shedding the tears of blood. And we know that this is just the beginning. Crucifixion is coming. The tomb awaits. But after the tomb is Easter. No matter how deep the darkness, the dawn is unstoppable. And we will see it together.